Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 196, and tonight's a special one coming at you on a Monday night, not the usual night for us because Wednesday is Christmas. We're taking off, so tonight is the Christmas Eve special, and of course, when it's the Christmas Eve special, that means I have a special co-host joining us tonight. Of course, I'm joined tonight by one of our regular co-hosts and member of our family, the one and only Daniel Dark from just the outskirts of Nashville, Tennessee. But tonight, coming from you to you from parts unknown, yes, it's that loved and Star Chamber show favorite, that guy who's, he's an award-winning author. He's got a documentary. He's got all kinds of cool stuff going on. Of course, yeah, definitely one of the coolest people around that we know. And that, of course, is the one and only Tommy B. Smith. Yes, guest co-hosting and being spotlighted tonight on the special. Hey, Tommy and Daniel, welcome to Star Chamber Show Christmas Eve special.
Happy Christmas Eve, live from Tornado Alley.
Welcome.
The tornadoes are not here, so we're in good shape. So,
right, the tornadoes are not here today. That's usually around springtime. So right now we just have the, ice, I think, and anything else. So we're good.
Yeah,
and we can deal with ice.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Tommy. I know that you were taking some time out from your preparation as one of Krampus's helpers over the next few days. So I know you're prepping for helping old Krampus out. And so thank you for taking some time out and coming aboard. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Well, as I said, better that than to dress in my normal clothing and frighten all the little children away. So.
and also, I got a little preview from you earlier that you're getting yourself into the Christmas spirit with some nice, warm-hearted, uplifting Christmas-themed films. You want to share more about that?
Oh, yes.
Before we get underway?
Oh, yes. Silent Night, Deadly Night, a classic. Yeah, just finished that one up just about a half hour ago.
Nice. So you're in the holiday spirit. Fantastic.
So it's a good pretense to everything that every little child wants for Christmas? Is that...
Well,
right,
it depends,
Tommy?
On the child. Well, it depends on what the child wants for Christmas. Depends if the child wants to punish everyone else for being bad. Then absolutely. Being naughty, I should say.
See, I was suggesting earlier, Daniel, to Tommy that he should watch the movie that was in theaters a few years ago, Krampus itself. And, that, of course, that one deals with the... naughty children. The whole investment. It's quite a fun film to watch. And definitely not going to be seen on the Hallmark Channel anytime soon, but it is definitely another holiday classic. But I digress a little bit. And
well, Krampus ought to be on the Hallmark Channel. I mean, they're all about Christmas and everything, and that's what Krampus is all about, is Christmas, so.
That's true. That's true. And we have there's another film, and I think it is called Krampus versus Santa Claus. It's another one that's out there that I got quite a kick out of, battle between Santa Claus and Krampus, and it actually had somewhat decent effects. But there actually are quite a few films out there with Krampus in them now. And definitely, you can put yourself together a nice, a night of hot chocolate and you know, warm-hearted Christmas films themed on Krampus, which I'm sure
warm-hearted Krampus movies.
And then when you get through those and everything, you can watch, you know, Santa Claus versus the Aliens. So, you know.
Right.
Yes, I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah,
there's an old black and white one, so.
Yeah,
some people consider Gremlins to be a horror movie. I consider it to be more of a Christmas movie, sort of almost more of a comedy almost as well. So we enjoyed that one when I was younger, but I've just heard tell these days of some people not allowing their children to watch it because it was too horrific. But I always just laughed at it. You know, Gremlins was ridiculous, but in a good way.
Yeah, I did not have a problem with Gremlins at all as far as when I was younger and growing up. It did not scare me. I didn't think it was didn't classify it quite as a horror film. I mean, it had some, you know, darker edged moments, I guess you could say. But it was that was a fun film. And in a way, I look at the Mogwai as kind of like a little precursor to what we have going on today with Baby Yoda, if you think about it. If you put Gizmo and Baby Yoda together, you actually have a similar appeal. And I wonder if that character ran through Disney's mind when they were putting Baby Yoda together. Because there's a resemblance, if you think about it.
At least they didn't do Critters instead. You know, they did.
Oh, yeah. There is a franchise. That's a franchise. I need to revisit that at some point. I haven't watched Critters in a long time. And about this moment, Michael West is regretting not being on the show now, and now that we're talking about B-horror movie franchises from the Golden Age. We're getting on the fun stuff tonight already. And anything goes, folks. You know, we're gonna definitely talk to Tommy about his latest adventures in the book and film world for sure. But tonight is a kind of free-for-all night. I see Sandy Lenders in the chat room already. And the guest call line, just so you know, is 619-639-4616. Again, that's 619-639-4616. We've got some
good stuff coming up for you tonight on the show. So get ready.
I'm here. Sandy said there's something on with my microphone tonight. Oh dear.
I'm catching a bit of fuzz on my end as well. So there's some sort of interruption there.
Is it just when Steven's talking, or is it when I'm talking too? So,
it's mostly when Steven's talking.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting a little
I'll
bit when Steven's talking.
We'll see what I can do. He will try. So go ahead. Yeah, chat on something for a second.
Let me adjust this.
Tommy. For yourself, any favorite or dark or unusual Christmas-related movies, books, television shows, perhaps?
Well,
since we were on the topic.
If you're on the topic and everything, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of different Christmas movies and everything that were, you know, done as horror movies and stuff. You know, we forget about them and everything, you know, throughout the years. But, you know, when you look it up online and everything, there's a bunch of them that can come up. And, you know, I'm still looking for one, you know, about, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know, as Santa Claus or something, you know.
There might be one.
Okay, guys.
I can't remember.
Do I sound better now?
Yes.
Yeah, somewhat,
okay.
I believe, yes.
Fantastic. I'm back.
Well, you know, I saw where someone had actually mentioned The Shining as a Christmas movie, since it includes a lot of snow and gives you a lesson in how terrible your family can be. Of course, I'm in jest, if anyone should happen to be listening anywhere out there. But yes, And then I just finished watching a non-Christmas movie, Crawl, and that was good as well. And that's just
oh,
the hurricane hits and the family trapped in a crawl space, and killer alligators come up and start crunching down on everyone. But also, that's fun, Christmas. It's fun on any holiday.
Crawl. Okay, I thought you said Crawl. It's in the 1980s, kind of like sci-fi fantasy-esque film with throwing star glaive.
That was on TV last
while,
night, actually.
Yes, that's good, too.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's a classic from the Golden Age. And
yeah, they played that one on TV down here last night, so.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one. That's fun to watch. And always kind of freaked me out when it killed the little minions of that big demon that was in the fortress that kind of teleported all over the planet. Because they'd smash him in the little brain to make him. It was a crazy thing. But fun in the video game. Definitely fun. And we got Carol Preflatish joining us in the chat room as well. So that's warming up. And on that note, yeah, the chat room is working well tonight. So, yeah, come on in. Join us, folks. And Christmas special is we'll go ahead and acknowledge our great sponsors tonight. Got two tonight. For the Christmas Eve special, and that would be Per Bostet Publications and, drum roll please, Sandy Lender. Yes, and so we are definitely honored to have both of them supporting tonight's show, and I will give you a little bit about each one, and we'll start with Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Check out Joanna Foreman's award-winning romantic thriller, Riverwalk Chameleon, or try Ghost Tour Guide's Jacob and Jenny Floyd's Louisville Strange and Unusual Haunts and Indiana's Strange and Unusual Haunts. Travel back to ancient Egypt with T. Lee Harris's The Eloquent Scribe and see just how much trouble a temple cat can drag an innocent young scribe into. Or head for the future in Marian Allen's science fiction short story collection, Other Earth, Other Stars. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at shows throughout the region around Louisville, Kentucky. So definitely check out Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And then our second sponsor tonight is fantasy author Sandy Lender. And here's a little bit about Sandy. Fantasy author Sandy Lender has stories for everyone, especially for readers who like dragons. Realms of Fantasy magazine positively reviewed her dragon-packed novel, Choices Meant for Kings, upon its release. The TimelessTeens.com went nuts for the critters in her Dragons in Space series. She's got 10 books available on Amazon so far, and she's not stopping. Check out the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon.com to pick up a new favorite story. And again, check out the author page for Sandy Lender. Last name spelled L-E-N-D-E-R. So definitely look up Sandy. Check out her work. It's all amazing. And fill up your brand new e-readers that you get this week for Christmas with Sandy Lender books. And I know she'll be grateful, and also Per Bostet Publications books. And they will definitely appreciate it because, it's definitely not the easiest road being indie authors, as all three of us can attest here, Tommy, Daniel, and myself. And so, help support those who support indies. So back to everybody. Yeah, here we go. So. As you were, Tommy. I suppose we should give you a chance to tell people. Speaking of indie authors and releases, we should go ahead and give you a chance to actually talk a bit about your brand new novel. Anybody want to play War? And yes, that's War in all caps. That's not a typo when we print it out on online. And so. It's a coming of age and suspense novel, and as you coined the cool film cool term, coming of rage. And so I'll leave that as kind of like the teaser to give you the segue here. So tell us about the new book, Tommy.
Well, it is a coming of rage novel, It's the story of he isn't even a young man yet, really. He's just still a teenager, and he's traumatized by something that happens at the start of the book. Of course, he is attacked by a dog and, you know, scarred, and, of course, develops a fear of dogs, and the story takes off from there. But it really sort of unhinges a lot of aspects of his life, and this is the story of that. So, yes, it's a coming-of-age story, a coming-of-rage story. It's the story of Bryce Gallo and his family and what his family has become, and also the big wide world out there as he perceives it and explores it and comes to see that not everything is as it seems, especially for someone of that age, when anywhere outside your own town is essentially the great unknown. And you're at a time in your life, and remembering back to when I was a lot younger, and particularly sometimes remembering back to when I was very young, when the imagination actually took precedence and appeared to be far more powerful than the world around me, simply because so much of it was unknown. And it's interesting to draw back to that for inspiration sometimes. So the story was sort of inspired by some aspects of when I was younger, but I always tell people that when something inspires me, that doesn't necessarily mean that the characters in the story are modeled after particular characters. Sometimes there may be a bit of that. Sometimes it may be setting. Sometimes it may be circumstance. We've all lived a life, and we all have a lot of stories to tell, obviously, since those of us here are storytellers. So, you know, it's a combination of the imagination and fact and fiction. And but, yeah, it's different from what I've done in the past in a lot of ways, because it's not quite what I would consider genre fiction. I had a bit of difficulty categorizing this one, but I just sat down to tell a story, not to try to squeeze a story into a tiny box and slap a specific label on it. I just wanted to tell a story. And so that's what I did. And for me, it was a fairly quick book to write, oddly. Written some that really took quite a bit more time and effort, and this one, it just came right out. So that was interesting as well. But I enjoyed writing the book.
Oh, cool.
It is written sort of in the way that a genre fiction writer would write a story like that, except it's not quite genre fiction. But there are little glimpses of that here and there. But so it is different in that way.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Daniel. I jumped over you there. I think you're about to ask a question. Daniel?
Who are you talking to? Oh.
Oh, you. I feared I talked over you.
No, you didn't. Go ahead. I was just listening real quick.
But, yeah, I have had the privilege of reading Tommy's book, and quite thoroughly, I might add. And definitely it is very different from your other work, and yet, yeah, it does have your signature style. Did you enjoy getting to step out of the box a little bit, for you, and do something that was not, straight genre fiction? And did it, was it rewarding for you as a writer to kind of branch out and do a story like that?
I thought so. It's liberating to be able to exercise your creativity and your abilities as you've developed them over the years, and as I have, and just to tell a story without worrying about what sort of label you're going to have to affix to it. But I understand why categories exist. So many people know exactly what they want to read, exactly what they enjoy reading, but as a reader, I'm the sort of person who enjoys reading outside my genre regularly. You know, I enjoy, of course, horror and fantasy and dark fantasy and all of that. But I enjoy biographies and all sorts of other things. Really, I enjoy reading just about everything except for just straight romance. And even then, it's stories with romantic elements. I found myself enjoying some of those. It's just the straight romance when there's nothing else but that I just can't maintain interest. But so I read a lot of different things. So I just sort of wanted to inject a lot of different aspects of my life as, and you know, as a reader and as an author into this book as well. So, and I think anyone who hasn't read anything of mine so far, this would be one of the books between this, and this would be a good one to, I always say, actually, I have three different books that would be good books to start with. But this is a good one just for a good example of different things I can do, just sort of like a piece of chaos, pieces of chaos, you know, for short story lovers. But if someone was out to read an entire novel, I would say go with this one. It'd be a good example of just different things that I'm capable of doing. You know, I've been told I'm versatile as an author. So, and yeah, there's a lot of passion going into this book. So,
well, I think we can definitely confirm that, Tommy. You had a quite a good response in Mourner's Cradle, for sure, with from Crystal Lake Publishing. And yeah, that's an award winner for you. So that's you had a successful, very successful year with that one, to say the least.
Yeah, it is now. I'm very happy to see that recognized. You know, I've been an author for quite some time. Of course, I focused on short stories in the early days, and now there's been a shift that I'm trying to get into writing longer works, and longer for me, not necessarily, you know. Tremendous fantasy novels, and I know you've in your years as an author, you've cranked out some of those, but you know, my books fall more in the are a bit shorter, you know, on the grand scale of that. I've written a novella and then some short novels, I suppose you'd say, like this one is kind of a shorter novel, but it's still, there's plenty of material there and plenty of content there, and it's nice though, in all those years as an author, to see someone recognize and see others appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's been, 13 years or so that I've been an author now, so.
A published author. You've been a writer, author a lot longer than that, I'm sure. You've been writing for a lot longer than 13 years, but as far as publishing, yes.
Right.
Yeah, always been quick to kind of specify that, you know, just because you hear a lot of writers, you know, I'm an aspiring writer, or I'm aspiring. And I'm like, no, I mean, you may be aspire to be published, but if you're writing, you're a writer, you know, if you're an author, you're there. It's, getting published is another step, of course, in the process. But yeah, you've been doing this, we're honing your craft for even longer than that. So yeah, it definitely put a lot of work into things. And you also, had your first, one of your first big adventures into the film realm, into a documentary feature. So, had that, of course, at our convention, and tell us a little bit about how response has been on that, and a little bit about the documentary.
Well, the response was mostly positive. We had it actually ended up being shown twice, which, I knew it was scheduled for, I think, a Sunday, and then Carol Preflatish, who was there in the room, and she was there to see it, but she came and asked me about it being on Saturday night, and which I didn't know anything about that at the time, but then I somehow or another ended up being shown twice, so which actually worked out better for some people who had wanted to see it but weren't going to be there at the time Sunday that it was being shown. So, Carol and bunch of others came out to see it, and there were actually two different groups of people that came out each time to see it, and had the awesome Michael Williams came out to see it. So that was and we actually had some authors. We actually took some footage. Well, it crossed 11 cities, so there were all sorts of other creative types, some people who maybe I share a bit in common with, and some who do very different things than I do, you know, as artists, and there were even some filmmakers in there, and some other authors, and just the creative spectrum, sort of the way Imaginarium runs, and we actually did take some footage last year at Imaginarium, as you know, and then there were some of you who were a part of that, and offering creative input, you know, playing a few games of spontaneous combustion, Right. If nothing actually combusts, then that means you win. So you were successful. We have a little fellow who stands off in the corner. You may not have seen him, the big lumbering fellow dragging around a large red metal gasoline can, staring at you as you were carrying on with your entry. But that's the gasoline man, and he just comes along with me to ensure that everything goes well, runs smoothly, and it did. So,
excellent. Excellent. Yeah, and Carol backs you up in the chat room. She says, it was so good. She's chiming in for the chat room right now. And, yeah, that was, I'm definitely honored to have been able to be one of your interviews at that particular event. And I'm glad I did not combust so I could at least make it to tonight to be here with you on the show, which is good. So, but, yeah, you definitely put something together there, and I hope that hopefully that's not the last of your forays into documentary filmmaking and filmmaking as well. That was great to see you do a project in that sort of area.
Have you entered into any more film competitions or anything?
Not as of yet. There's probably going to be a version of this release down the line at some point, and there's going to be some extra material because there was a lot of material that didn't make it into this version. But yes, I would like to see it appear at some more festivals as well for the new year. And that was actually the first, and we just barely got it in under the deadline at that for that version. But yes, we'd like to see it appear at some more festivals in the new year. And eventually, like I said, there would be a version available that would include some of the extra material and such, and special features that didn't make it into that, because there were a lot of things that really didn't go according to plan. And, you know, oddly, it never happens that you go off, grab a camera and embark on a book tour and anything goes wrong. But, you know, the one time I did it, I wondered why no one ever did this before. You know, you see so many other artists and musicians particularly, you know, thinking of the world of music, and you see so many bands going out on tour and doing tour videos. And I sort of wondered why others in different creative mediums don't do any such thing. Well, now that I've done it, now I know. Now I know why no one does this. But I did it anyway, and I pushed through, and there were really a lot of obstacles. So it took a lot of pushing, but we made it happen despite that. You know, we had all kinds of issues. It seemed like every time we were making a trip from somewhere else, there was always a gigantic storm coming down. And there was came back from Nashville and contracted, I don't know what I was calling the Nashville bird flu at the time, but I really don't know what it was. But, you know, you're doing these conventions. A lot of people call it the con crud. I thought bird flu was more creative. And then there were a lot of birds getting tossed around by the storm. So I suppose that's where that came from. It's just people put two and two together and assumed it was the bird.
Oh, dear.
It might have just been extreme con crud. But, a lot of that would be pretty extreme. Yeah. We had some car problems.
How many stops did you make during that?
Well, it was 11 cities I counted out, including the one I live in, and five different states. And there were a couple of events. Oh, and that's not including, you know, just the local events and all of that, because I always go out and do a signing at the library and do some of the signings at local bookstores and what have you. And that's, some of that's included as well. And then there's a lot of footage, you know, from others, of course, because I didn't want the feature just to be about me specifically so much as, you know, these creative processes that we all share and our different methods for exploring them, the different angles we have due to our different backgrounds and the fact that we're just all individuals. So I wanted to explore some of that and also to be around some of the inspirations, you know, behind the Mourner's Cradle and behind some of the works that we all do, you know, as individuals. So,
awesome.
It was really a mess, but it came together.
Well,
finally.
Well,
we made it come together.
Well, now you can monetize because you've got all this footage, you got all this unreleased material, so you can come out with your standard edition, then release your extended edition, then come out with your more extended edition, and then you can come out with your very extended edition. And each time, of course, the hardcore collectors who are completists will have to get each copy, and so therefore you can probably sell at least 4 copies to every diehard fan, and quadruple your sales that way. But that's my marketing gift to you for tonight. There you go.
As people do, solid gold, solid platinum edition with extra special features that weren't included with the other special features from the last one.
Right. you see that happen a lot in the film world with 28 editions of a movie. So you can do
absolutely.
Too, Tommy. Yeah.
And music as well.
Did Joe make it? I can't remember. Did Joe make it in? I just can't remember. From Crystal Lake, did you get him on that? I can't.
I didn't manage to on the documentary.
Yeah.
Do you mean?
I didn't manage to get Joe.
Sometimes it's difficult to coordinate since they're in South Africa.
Yeah.
I would have liked to, but Joe is an excellent individual. Got an awesome work ethic. Excuse me, but. Sometimes it's difficult to coordinate due to them being in South Africa. I know there's a bit of delay sometimes between our communications, but he was excellent to work with, and I would have loved to have had him. He is actually doing more podcasts and appearances lately, more than he used to not do that very much at all.
He's definitely they definitely put out top notch work. The top the cover work on their releases, the quality of the writing. I mean, it's just really good stuff that's coming from Crystal Lake. That's definitely one of the indie presses to keep an eye on. And we could definitely want to give Joe a shout out, and we of course think he's definitely got an eye for talent in choosing to work with you.
I was happy to be working with Joe and with Crystal Lake Publishing.
We want to be able to at least spotlight him as much as we can on the show here. He said they're one of the good ones. They're definitely one of the good ones out there in a sea of not so good ones sometimes. But it's, they're definitely on the top echelon. So Carol also is requesting a director's cut edition. So in addition to the more extended versions, you also need to release a director's cut edition, which of course will be different from those three other editions.
Yeah, so I'm sure among all those re-releases, one of them will be a director's cut, and then there will be somebody else's cut as well after that, including the director's cut and the uncut.
No one's ever done a production assistant's cut yet on a
no,
film.
Yeah,
I've never seen one sold as a production assistant's cut yet. I think that could be groundbreaking.
It might revolutionize the industry.
We could be onto something. Oh man. But we're known for coming up with crazy ideas on the Star Chamber show, so this is not the first time. But that was cool to see you get underway with documentary work right alongside a novel that has put you at put that little award winner label on you, and well deserved. And 2020 is as we speak, it is about a week away, so. The new year looms, and what's Tommy V. Smith going to be doing in 2020?
Well, hopefully quite a bit, Hopefully quite a bit. I'm still writing, of course. I haven't quit yet. And there'll be a lot more to come. I don't know as far as on the film end of it. I wouldn't call all of that dead in the water quite yet. Of course, this will be, this will be coming out with all of the extras as we've talked about Road Between Worlds. But if I ever did something again, it would be something very different from that. And I'll just leave it at that. But I'm focusing on my writing more right now, actually. And I'm writing something that's it's another story that's difficult to classify, but I think it's almost more of a thriller almost. But It's set in the American Southwest, and it's actually something I was writing before until I got derailed down into Louisiana and decided I was going to write another horror story. So then I went off, and you know, sometimes it happens that multiple projects will pull you in different directions, and it's whichever one is pulling the hardest, then that's what you gravitate toward, and you get that done. And it's easy to have a lot of projects going at once and not to finish a single one, so I try to finish something I've started. And I had started the two, and I finally finished that one, so that's a done deal. So now I'm back to this one I'm working on, which is, like I said, more of a – but I think maybe it's a thriller. So I just don't worry as much as some do about trying to classify the stories. But, yes, you know, some people in what they read, they are very specific, though. So it's good that we have categories so that people know where to find what they want to read.
Yep.
Well, you might have to get some project management going and assign official roles to Bearcat and Luna, your two cats, who I might
yes.
say
yes.
have very very serious expressions in recent photos that you've shared with me. One with your Anybody Want to Play War book, which we're actually going to put that one out there in the 7-Star Press channels. Too good to pass up. And then, of course, Luna, who looks like has the expression of an editor-like expression. So I think your cats are wanting to get involved in your work at some point. Very,
maybe
very
they will.
Serious
they,
look. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's sort of in that photo. He's sort of got a look as if this book has just changed his life, you know. So
yes,
he's got the copy of Anybody Want to Play War beside him, you know. And then, of course, Luna, like you said, it's got that sort of, you know, got that editorial look. So she's just ready to cut it to pieces before I send it off to my human editor. And
well, but our secret's out. Now we know your full process now. You have one cat in charge of marketing and another one in charge of beta reading and pre-edits.
Yeah, sort of like Ratatouille, you know, and the rats in the back cooking all the food, you know. Here the cats are in the back, you know, helping me out with all the beta reading and reading and editorial work and, you know.
Well, hopefully I'll catch up with you soon, Tommy. We're currently looking for a cat or two to come aboard in our household now, and so you know, hopefully soon I'll be adding to our, you know, I'll have some new staff here at the house, so we'll be able to maybe we'll coordinate all of them to, you know, form like a whole division.
Right, that's important. I mean, our cats, they have very different personalities, as I told you, and they're sort of the yin and yang, and she's quite bombastic and bounces across the house sort of like a little feline ping pong ball on crystal meth, whereas he is very calm and collected and, you know, he's a very rational cat, Bearcat is. And so, you know, it's just, they both had their strengths at very different ends of the spectrum. And then they work together wonderfully as well. So somehow, despite all their differences.
Now you got something else started, Tommy, because down in Tennessee, they've been talking a lot about meth gators and even have newspaper articles about the possible threat of meth gators. And now I guess, possibly the opioid crisis is spreading and we'll have meth cats now. That could be dangerous.
It could be. Then there was a giver of the story of the black bear that was found to have eaten millions of dollars worth of cocaine. It was like thrown out of a plane.
Yep.
And yeah, right. That's an old story, but
that is a big one where the bear actually was stuffed and everything wound up in Vegas. Was stolen from a Rangers place or museum or something like that at one time and wound up in Vegas, and then they found him out in Vegas and took him back. So
while he was having a good time, he was just getting started.
Yeah,
no,
he ate
you're
enough
done,
that it killed
enough.
Him, so.
Oh.
But going back to your film and everything, have you on the documentary film expos and stuff, did you make it to Tom's place last year, Tom's Moore?
I haven't. Not quite yet. I got to chat with Thomas there at Imaginarium, and of course, checked out the new book that he and Nathan Day had collaborated on, and got a copy of that signed by both of them. And
yep.
Thomas, I actually Thomas also had quite a bit going on, I think, because I would see him for about a minute, and then he would be going off to do something, and I would be going off to do something else. And I did get
yep.
to tell him congratulations, you know, after the awards and all of that. So we briefly got to chat just a little bit, probably not enough. Maybe we can get together a little more at a future time when we're both not.
Well,
you
do know that he has a film festival that he does over in Knoxville area.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that would be a good one then. Could be something we'll discuss in the future. No, I haven't. I haven't discussed that with him.
Yeah,
very cool.
No,
yeah, you definitely can hold him. That would be the Southern Oasis Film Festival out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah, Southern Oasis
okay.
Film Festival. I do know their platform is Film Freeway, which is the one we also use. And you can definitely look up Southern Oasis Film Festival there on Film Freeway, and they have all the data and info on the fest. But yeah, it's a good one. It's definitely a good one. I think it's coming up in February. My brain is a little scrambled, but I think it is February.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty quickly, I think. But
well, that's not far away at all. So
it'd be something that you may want to contact them about or something, whether it's too late to put it in or not.
Yeah, I'll see if I can call it up real quick and give you the exact dates. It is February the 8th. That is the date for 2020's version of Southern Oasis Film Festival. So, yeah, you definitely want to touch base with him as soon as you can. But, yeah, that's a good one.
And switching gears a little bit, I'm going to throw somebody else under the bus right now and ask him, what do we expect from this group of people called Seven Star Press? What is on their agenda for 2020?
Too much. it's a lot. Well, speaking of, yeah, we've got a novel coming from Carol Preflatish, as a matter of fact, she's in the chat room as we speak there, and she's got a new one coming up right in the early part of 2020. And that's going to be awesome. That's going to be coming out. It's a mystery novel and it's called Homecoming to Murder. And we're looking forward to that. And then this fellow, Daniel Dark, yeah, he's got something coming out right away in 2020, which currently, I'll let you talk about that one and you can tell us what you wish to reveal tonight as far as that and cover art and all that good stuff goes. That I'll let you discuss that one.
Well, on New Year's Eve, at the stroke of midnight, I'm going to be doing a live Facebook broadcast on New Year's Eve at stroke of midnight, and be giving away a few things. For different people that are online with me and stuff, and I'll be doing a cover reveal of my newest novel on that night. It's a sort of a take on the first novel and stuff on different things that are happening in it, but you know, you'll just have to meet up with me on Facebook Live on New Year's Eve to find out all about that and what all I'm giving away and stuff. But I think that
cool.
You know, people will be very excited about it, especially as they've read Knife's Tale, the first
mm-hmm.
award-winning novel that I did. So,
I think people will be interested as well, knowing what little I know and what little rumors I've heard. I would agree. That's an interesting take on certain aspects, which shall not be discussed. But yes.
We're teasing the audience on this one a lot. But yes, definitely get with Daniel and get the scoop on special New Year's Eve activities involving announcements and such, and reveals and whatnots. Definitely get with Daniel on that. Lots for him to cover that night, for sure. But yes, it's going to be a big year for Daniel. There's no question about that. That's for sure. And those are with Carol's and Daniel's examples. Those are two that are, you know, will be in the very early part of 2020. But yeah, there's going to be a whole lot more kind of coming in right after that. And definitely with Angela McPherson and of course Chrissy Garrison and Michael Houchin's follow up to Tybee Island H bomb. It's going to get busy, and then loads of new audiobooks, and we're porting over that catalog over there. And there's maybe I don't want to think about it right now, or it might overwhelm me, and I'll short circuit here.
Well, I've also heard that, you know, we're already getting some porting over of something called the Star Chamber Show too. So,
well, yes, and that is already underway. If you go to the Seventh Star Press YouTube channel, you can see that we've started porting episodes over there. There'll be another one up tomorrow. We started with episode 191, Demetrius Witherspoon's episode, as the first one that we ported over there. But yeah, we're now archiving completed shows there as well as on the Blog Talk Radio site. And it's just because, YouTube is just such a very accessible platform. You know, you've got the app, and everybody's got the app, everybody's got smart TVs, everybody's got, you know, a lot of people listen to podcasts even via YouTube, and just seems like it's just an easy place to access it. And so we have begun to put finished shows on there, and once it gets up to being current with the live show, then pretty much you can expect the port to be done within a day or two of the live show. And catch up with it there, and they also are embeddable into blogs and web pages if you'd like to feature a certain show on your site. It's really, really going to be a good addition to the show, and put spotlights on creatives and getting more people aware of folks like Tommy B and Demetrius and everybody that we have, because we've had. If you look at the last year, we've had an amazing group on. In terms of the range of genres, from writers, filmmakers, game people, musicians, audiobook narrators. We've definitely had a wide range of talent that's been on the show, and it's definitely a place where you can discover some new and rising voices. And so, I think this is going to be a good thing. I hope you two agree. But we hope that, adding it to YouTube is going to be a welcome addition to the listeners, and they can access it yet one more way.
So you started out with the 6 degrees to Demetrius?
Yeah, that's not true. Yeah, I figured that. Yeah, it's about fitting. That episode was originally aired on November the 20th, so not too long ago, about a month ago, just over. But he's, it's funny. It's like all of our guests, it's like either they've worked with him, they know him, or they're within like 1 or 2 degrees of him in the same way that the Kevin Bacon game goes. So for us on the Star Chamber show, we have 6 degrees of Demetrius Witherspoon as our theme. Instead of Kevin Bacon, that's got the rule around here. Tommy B's met Demetrius, so you're at least one degree with Demetrius, I think, if that works. But, yeah. But, yeah, he's a good guy. And he just keeps he's like the Energizer Bunny of the indie world. I mean, I swear, the guy is just – oh, my man. He just announced, like, last week that he's doing an animated series of his Submerged universe. So not only does he have his web series, short films, features, and novelizations, he's got the card game, he's got comic books, and now an animated series. So crazy.
it's quite amazing. A few different mediums. That's good. That keeps it interesting, I don't doubt. And communicates what you're doing to a lot of different fans. So.
Yeah, so considering you already started doing movies and stuff, when are we going to see some of your books done as short films?
Some of mine?
Yeah.
one of these days, hopefully. Actually, the new book, Anybody Want to Play War, I think would probably make a decent, it's just a matter of me getting more into that screenwriting, you know, aspect of the business, since I've been focusing more on novels and such. But I would actually like to, some people may remember that I was working with some people in Memphis once upon a time who I'd met at Mid-South Con. Steven, I know you remember. But and there was going to be a film of Pieces of Chaos, and there were going to be three different stories within that film. and then whatever happened, the company dissolved for whatever reason. A lot of the circumstances are unknown to me because there wasn't a lot of communication. But you know, I have material that was shot, raw material that was shot during that time, and we have scripts and everything else. So it could be that I would pick up the reins on that someday and try to do something more with it, you know, since they ultimately didn't or weren't able to. I mean, it's still my creation, so, and my work. So I wouldn't mind seeing that happen as well. So hopefully one of these days.
Do you actually own the raw footage right now?
No, I do not own that footage. But I just own the rights to that book completely now. So everything's reverted to me some years back as far as that goes. And so I could always just start fresh with that, just with all of the ideas and everything else. And I was collaborating with them to an extent on that. Of course, they decided they wanted to use my work, but then we were communicating back and forth for a while until they just sort of fell off. But, yeah, I could approach that again, just perhaps with people who had better means to get the work done or, you know, take on more of the work myself as far as, you know, visualizing everything, you know, and writing more of the material and what have you, you know. It's stems from my material, but I could take a more active role in that. So that's always an idea, too. But down the road, I don't know when, though. But I would like to see that as well, so... hopefully someday when I get to the point I want to be as far as where my fiction is, probably get out, finish the book I'm working on, and then we'll see. We'll take it one step at a time. I find that seems to work best for me, and then we'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, I would love to see that, though, eventually.
I think it'd be great.
I think we all would.
That's actually that book was actually the one that I kind of – met you through. I mean, well, it is the one I met you through. I mean, that's the, you know, the famous day that, you know, I saw your the broken mirror pieces that were kind of like the visual theme of your table display, and met you and got pieces of chaos, and that's the channel by which I met you, Tommy. And yeah, I'd love to see that come to life fully as a series, or, you know, collection of short films, or whatever it may be.
The original
idea
was going to be sort of like an anthology film, but yeah, like you said, you could also do a series. Uh-huh. You know, there are 14 stories in that book, and And I have all kinds of other short stories that were never reprinted in Pieces of Chaos as well, but some of them didn't quite fit. But, you know, because I started out doing fantasy as well as horror. And so, you know, maybe it doesn't, it's not quite with the modern weird or what have you type of fiction. Mm-hmm. But that's, there are a lot of possibilities for the future. It's never too late until we're dead. So a lot of things could happen. I would like to see some of those things happen at some point in time. That would be excellent to be able to work on projects like that. So, but we'll see what the future brings. You know, we'll see what 2020 brings, because that's coming on us fast, very quickly. And a lot of things could happen in 1 year alone. A lot of things could happen in a month, let alone a year or the next few years. So.
Very cool.
Yes, it
very
can.
Cool.
Yes, it can.
For all of us.
Like not too long ago, I was, you know, sitting there deciding whether I was going to write a novel or not. And now I'm working on my third one, so. So, who knows what, you know,
like
what the future is going to bring for him, because I never thought that I would ever write the first one, you know, originally. I did it as a test to me just to see if I could get through one. And now I know that I can, so I'm still doing it. So.
Yeah, you've gotten past those hurdles, and now you're a published author, and you're getting out, putting yourself out there, and you've got people reading your books and wanting more. And so now you're just you're an author, and we're all works in progress, and our books are all works in progress until they're finished and they're out in the public eye. But it's a good place to be, you know, for a creative, in a spot where you can continue to do what you enjoy.
We can't all be as prolific as, you know, my other host over here that, you know, puts out 30 books a year, you know, but.
That is not true exactly. This year
29, maybe 28. I wouldn't give him 30, but. Yeah, 27, 28, 29. 30
depends
is a bit much.
On the, yeah. He can crank on a few of them. But no, I'm just got to keep chipping away at it. Yeah, you have to keep chipping away. It's that's all I always tell people. Don't get so concerned about writing like 10,000 words in a session. It's more important that you write regularly, and even if that's, you know, 200 words here and 500 words there. I mean, as long as you're consistently writing, I mean, you're going to keep your brain in a certain zone, and you'll surprise yourself in terms of how you suddenly see projects being completed, and instead of panicking over, oh my God, I didn't write 2,000 words today. It's definitely a game of just consistency, I think, and that's always been my kind of approach.
Yeah, sometimes I get 10 words written, and sometimes they even make a sentence. So.
Right, and that's what I tell people. It's just it's important to be consistent, you know, and continue to flex those creative muscles in that gray matter and continue to create. And like you said, even if it's just a paragraph, sitting down to write a paragraph, you've gotten some sort of writing done, because we all have bad days.
Mm-hmm.
We all have days where we're tired, where we don't get as much writing done as we'd like to, or where just life in general interferes. And, that can happen in a variety of ways. But if you've gotten that paragraph out, even if you've had the worst day, even if you've had a day where you were spending 15 hours working on this, that, and the other, trying to drag your car up out of a muddy ditch and just to get home in one piece, and you sat down and you got those two or three sentences and you got that paragraph. And you know what? You did all of that, plus you got your writing done. So. You're consistent every day, and I think that is very useful. I try to write something every day, you know, and there's a lot of different feedback across the board. I see some people talking about how to get 10,000 words done a day, and I see somebody else struggling to get 2,000 words, but you know what? They're still doing it, even though they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
There's a lot to be said for that.
And I saw
a great on that theme, though, I do want to chime in. You know, we have a discussion from Fidelio Bob in the chat room, and he was talking about a new work in progress of his. While he's discussing what it was, he made the comment, "We are built to live in harmony and cooperation, not in competition." Hey, I couldn't agree more. Definitely, it's very similar to kind of like the spirit that Sally Ann Monty had in her keynote speech back in Imaginarium. How we are colleagues, not competitors. I think more and more, you know, that indie artists, authors, writers, and all that realize that. I think the better it's going to get for everybody around.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that I saw the other day as a diagram, and it wasn't just about creatives, it was about business in general. But it was the number of hours that you've got in a week and your side hustle, basically, which, you know, in most people's, that's their writing, their artwork or whatever they're doing like that, in our field, the creative field. And you see, you think about it, if you take 56 hours a week for sleep, 40 hours a week for work, you still got about, you know, almost 40 hours for doing that creative hustle, doing what you really have passion for over just, you know, goofing off. And, you know, being able to make something, you know, that is strictly you. And that's what we're all striving for, is making something that's strictly us. So, you know, everybody, you know, sits there and goes, "I don't have any time for this." You know, you may not have the time that somebody else has, but you've always got a little bit of time every week for yourself. And doing that
right.
creative project that you want to do.
Right. The only time you have no time is when you're dead. So if you're able to talk about it, then you're able to get a little bit of writing done. And it doesn't have to be an entire book just within a month. But, it can be a gradual process. And, you know, as far as writers supporting one another. And
go ahead.
As far as writers supporting one another and not having to compete with one another, I mean, it's not, you know, as if you're operating an ice cream shop and a gang of kids come over and look around and say, "You know what, forget you. We're going over to the yogurt place across the street." You know, they can read your book and they can read another author's book as well. You know, so you can be a horror author or a fantasy author, and you can support your fellow horror author or fantasy author that's right across the aisle from you at the convention signing books to his or her fans. You know,
right.
So
right.
we can all assume a unified front and, support one another, you know, and it just makes it easier for all of us.
Agreed. And I think that it might be the Rob Hoff in the chat room, folks. Season's greetings all from Rob with 2Bs 641. And of course, I don't know many Robs with 2Bs, so I'm thinking it might be Rob Hoff in the chat room. Not sure. Hopefully he'll confirm whether or not this is indeed Rob Hoff in the chat room. Rob did catch that unified front. I'm with that.
Unified, you know, which is odd because I was talking about ice cream, and there is such a thing as fried ice cream.
Yes, there is.
So we could be talking about fried ice cream as well.
Such thing as authors having fried brains after writing sessions. Yeah, so if
that
happens
too.
To a group of authors, they would thus be unified. So it's a good phrase for
it. Yeah, you know, I've been creating a lot of new words tonight since we started this show, inadvertently.
It is Rob Hoff. Yes, he's definitely revealed here. It's got to be him because he met you in Imaginarium.
Fantastic, Rob Hoff.
Rob Hoff, the man, the excellent one, as we call on the show. And yeah, of course, Serpent Egg Rapture, Cosmic Egg Rapture, and Contract with the Lycanthrope, and just all the good works that Rob's been doing. And one of the busiest guys out there. I mean, literally, like, every week I see him posting stuff about book events that he's doing. I mean, definitely, yeah, Rob is out there, to say the least. Yeah, for sure. And we do got, yeah, and Fideli, well, he goes by the name of Bob, so we'll just call him Bob. Yeah, I am Blunt, deal with it. So we've got a Rob and a Bob, yeah, now in the chat room. So we just distinguish the two who are commenting in here. And Rob does chime in. Crackers for Lycanthrope is almost done. So there you go, folks. Latest news from Rob Hoff here on Star Chamber Show. Christmas Eve special. So fantastic. Rob Hoff, one of a kind guy. Oh, he's awesome. Too awesome. But yeah, and shout out to
that he is, you know,
our friends and family at Hydra Publications. Tony Acree, definitely another one of the good guys to mention. Another publisher puts out quality work, indie work, and truly, truly great individual. I don't know if he's listening tonight, but Tony, we appreciate you. We love you, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays as well. Because he puts out Rob's work, which I am very grateful for. So, Rob,
absolutely.
Bob, two Bob, watch. That's a comment for the chat room. That's awesome. Too awesome. Yeah, Tommy, I know, is tracking this too. We have a very good chat room tonight. So, yeah, pop in there if you can. So, it's getting newbie madness. Yes, which we love. So, yeah, if Holly was there, it'd be probably complete mayhem at this point.
I'm always in mayhem.
So,
what are we wanting for Christmas?
Me?
Yeah,
or Tommy?
Tommy? Both.
I would like to have New Year's for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like New Year's
Eve.
Christmas. Yeah, that's what I want for Christmas.
All right.
Yeah, me.
That would be
no,
for,
no,
that
no
would
material
be for
gifts,
after
really.
Christmas, then I get to get out of town and go somewhere else. But I guess that's, you know, my New Year's Eve gift to myself. And that's
nice. Yeah,
so where do you
call it
to go?
Yeah, where are you? Yeah, Tommy.
What is it?
Where do you get to go?
Now, most New Year's Eves we'll take off and we'll go somewhere else. And we've done a few. There were some that I went elsewhere to do research for a story, as I do sometimes when I travel. And there was a few years ago, I think we went up to Branson, Missouri, and just had a really relaxed, you know, New Year's Eve. And so we decided we're going to go on back up there. So, that's nice to be able to relax, not to be forced to rush around at a psychotic pace and try to do everything. And so we'll go up there, for a few days.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's not
and,
that far from here, but far enough that it's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Go up there and watch a few shows and.
Yeah, we could. You know,
like
it is a bit touristy, but you know, there are things to do, and it's not so much so that it's, you know, like I said, it's also the place you can relax somewhat rather than some other places I've gone that, it's just 90 miles an hour and you're having to. What
right.
about you, fellas?
Yeah.
Any plans for the new year after Christmas or?
Yeah, for me, I'm sticking around town and having a very low key, relaxed Christmas. I'm not, like I said, I'm not nothing major. I'm looking for or asking for as far as, material stuff. I just want to kick back and have a bourbon or
two
and just peace and quiet and relax and visit with my sister and Holly and just have sanity.
Mm.
That's good. It's nice to not be working, for one thing. And then New Year's, I am going to stay put here. And looks like Big Martin is going to come up and visit us for New Year's, which is awesome. Of course, he played the Draugr in our indie TV pilot, and he is just one of the funnest guys to have around. He is just a blast. He is definitely somebody that you just enjoy visiting with, and yeah, so I'm looking forward to that quite a bit, and so that's pretty much me, and nothing crazy, but good company and good fun.
I figured you'd want a cloning machine, but you know,
cloning machine. I wish I did. But Sandy Lender, before we get too far into the discussion of what's happening in Christmas, we do have some good news to pass along from Sandy that just got posted in the chat room. If you remember, she was a guest last week, and she mentioned a short story in the interview and how it was up for the finals of consideration for an anthology. It did make it through the final round. It will be published in the genre anthology from Tulip Tree Publishing in January. So Sandy did get a nice Christmas present in terms of a acceptance on her story. So I thought we'd pass that
on. Nice. Congratulations, Sandy. Excellent news.
We got a comment from Bob, just in the same way. We got Rob and Bob. This one's from Bob. And he said, there is never enough rum. Captain Jack Sparrow. And on my side, there's never enough bourbon. Yeah, he's got the rum going. So, but I happen to do like rum quite a bit. Yeah, mainly the darker rums, as opposed to the clear type. But thank you. That made me chuckle there, Bob. Appreciate that comment. That's awesome. But he does. He does have a good New Year's wish. I'll read it out. What I would like to see in the world for next year is for everyone to move from competition to cooperation. Together, we will thrive. Nice. Like it. Totally can get on board with that. And and then Sandy Lender, never enough wine. And Rob, 151 rum. No rum. Yeah, keep 151 away from Holly and my sister, whatever you do. It's not a good thing. We banned them from having it ever again. Yeah, Daniel could vouch for me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're keeping that away from Holly and my sister. And we'll leave it at that. But that would make for a fun New Year's party, yeah. And Bob is a ship captain.
As long
captain,
as you can
so
keep them at the
compulsory.
House.
Yeah, and Bob is a ship's captain, literally, might add. He mentioned this earlier in the chat, literally a ship's captain. So rum is compulsory. So, yeah, I can go with that. That's not a bad thing.
That's why they always talk about the captain goes down with the ship. Sometimes the captain goes down without the ship because of the rum. So. But, you know, he's the captain.
Man.
He can do whatever he wants.
He's still looking for Moby Dick.
The captain, you know. Yeah, you know, mess with the
captain.
That's right. Nice.
He's
so,
still out
what
there
about
fishing
you, Daniel?
For Moby Dick. For me?
Yeah.
I have
the coming week.
I have the
you.
Christmas Day, I'm just going to go down and spend it with my mom for a while. She's 91 years old now. And
well,
yeah. It's going to be an excellent day with her. And then New Year's, I've got the reveal. Who's doing the Star Wars? Or am I the only one hearing that?
Hearing Star Wars?
The new Star Wars movie?
No, I'm hearing it sounds like laser.
Oh,
lasers.
Swords in the background.
I'm talking about who's going to see the movie because everybody's been talking about it in my on social media every time I turn around lately. But yeah, it does
yeah,
sound
no
a little
spoilers,
bit like that.
Tommy. Yeah, no spoilers.
Oh no. Well, I actually haven't seen it yet anyway, but
yeah,
I can't give
neither.
You a spoiler because I haven't seen it yet myself. But but yeah. So no worries
but
there. But yeah, I know what Daniel's talking about. It's yeah, it does sound a little odd, but
there we go. I don't hear it. Don't hear it. So I think we're okay, at least on my end. But yeah, we always
you're the only one that doesn't hear it then.
Good Lord. or Daniel's been cutting into some good rum. One of the two there.
Did you hear what I was talking about, Tommy?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not going crazier.
No, I've been hearing noises off and on throughout this particular broadcast. I don't know why. We've been having some kind of a technical difficulty, but and at times it's sort of abated somewhat, and other times it's been more noticeable. But
right.
Yeah.
It's your fault, Tommy, because you're bringing the chaos into the mix here, Mr. Fan of Chaos. So.
Well, that's what I do.
But yeah, in January, start back to college. So. You know, that's going to be interesting. When you haven't been in school in 40 years, basically.
that's going to be a good adventure for you, Daniel. That's going to be fun to follow along with your path there, for sure. But I'm sure you'll do absolutely fine. I'm not too worried about you.
But it's something that I feel like that I need to do for myself and for my future as a writer. So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You've taken the step to go ahead and do it, and you know, some people, I'm sure that's discouraging after, like you said, 40 something years, but you're going to do it anyway. So.
Yeah. It's just where, you know, if I'm going to keep writing and everything, to be fair to an editor and be fair to myself, this is something that I need to do. And, you know, my publisher hasn't, you know, discouraged me from not doing it, so we're doing it.
No! Totally behind you. And, no, I mean, I say it every week. I mean, I'm not taking formal classes, but I'm always pushing myself to learn new things all the time. I mean, you know, whether it's about the book industry or my craft and writing, or whether it's, you know, things of being an editor. I mean, whether it's, you know, listening to podcasts, reading articles. I mean, yeah, pursuing your education doesn't stop. I mean, at all. I mean, if you are dedicated to what you do. I mean, it's definitely a, you know, what you're doing is definitely a very, you know, obviously a formal environment, but even if you're not doing that, I mean, yeah, you're always pushing to grow, and yeah, that's definitely part of what we embrace, absolutely. And Sandy Lender is very impressed with what you're doing with education, and she's proud of his commitment. So, yeah, like you said, we stop learning and growing, we start growing moss. So,
when you get your edit back from the editor and it looks like that the only thing they did was change the color of the font, you know that you need to do something.
It's all right, man. Oh, Lord, that's too funny. But you will do fine, Daniel. Not worried about you. But yeah, it's gonna be fun to hear the reports as you go back. Hopefully, it'll be exciting, like kind of like Rodney Dangerfield in that one movie, Back to School. You'll have some really good.
Yeah, you
want to
see me get divorced now, don't you?
Be like Thornton Mellon, you'll do the triple Lindy off the diving board there. I think that's what it was called, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But
That was a gem.
Maybe I need to go back and watch that movie again before I actually start school, so I know what I need to do while I'm there.
Yeah, Rob remembers it. Yeah, he said Sally Kellerman. So, yeah, that's awesome. Oh, man. Now you make me want to go see that film again. Or maybe we'll have to remake it with Daniel Dark in that role now. That would be fun.
Well, there might be an adjustment period, but you can't really go wrong with, you know, looking to expand your knowledge and skill level. So, you know, and that's I think in the right direction, you know, and you're never too old for that, you know, even if you haven't been in school in a long time. And I haven't in a long time, but I don't know. It's probably been, I don't know how long actually, but probably not quite 40 years though.
So you're not 40 yet?
Well, I'm going to just not talk about that, but but it hasn't been since I've been out of school. So,
you're only like 29, aren't you, Tommy?
Sure. We'll go with that. We'll just approximately. A lot of people actually do think I'm a lot younger than I am. But yeah. So I just let people believe that. but no, I don't think... Yeah, it hasn't been quite that long, but you know, yeah, good for you, definitely. You know, wish you the best on that. So,
the mysteries of Tommy B. Smith—they are many. They are many. Well, the dark one, yeah, we've already ascertained that he's at least 200 years old. So, everything's relative.
Yeah,
so 40 years actually isn't that bad. So, it's actually recent history for him.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, not so bad.
Just because y'all can't kill me off doesn't mean anything.
No, we don't want to kill you off. You got too many books to get out there. We have to keep
you
chugging.
I don't think we could if we wanted to.
Anyway. Yeah, that's now we can't promise that people won't throw catch up on you, but that can happen. But
I'm a ketchup magnet.
Oh, man. Too funny. Yeah, we told that story. Holly and I were telling that story. Young writer Will Hutcherson, who came to a signing when he was just over 11 years old. He was one of my first book signings. And he had, we're talking like epic, in my epic fantasy series, and he had read the first book and knew it well. I mean, he's like one of the young readers that's like, you know, definitely was on the move. And he had his 21st birthday this past weekend, and we had the honor of going to it. And the group that was there, his dad was hosting the party, and he made his rite of passage very well. He did not get out of hand. But he did have some bourbon, so I was proud of him. He had some really good Knob Creek and Woodford Reserve and some Rebel Yell. but he did very well with his rite of passage.
He shared it with you. Is that the reason you're proud of him or what?
Well, unfortunately, I had to drive, so I always limit myself to one drink when I'm out and I have to drive because that's my rule. So even though it killed me.
It's a 48-ounce drink, but you know.
Well, no, I take that very seriously. Yeah, one realistic restaurant-sized pour. Yeah, that's all I do when I'm out. But that's it. That's it. But yeah, one of the cool things when we were with the group that we did get to tell them. Your catch-up stories, and I'm telling you, everybody was about on the ground. They loved it. So there's a lot of mileage to your famous visits to Brew Burger in Lexington. They loved it.
I think if I walked in there tonight, that they would still sit there and go, oh, hell, he's back again.
They would. They guarantee you they haven't forgotten you. I guarantee you, you are a legend. On that show, so yeah, or on that among those folks there, definitely, too funny. Back to back visits. Whoever would. Oh, that's just great. Especially the guy. That
and I still haven't won the lottery.
Catch it.
I don't understand. Yeah. I still haven't won the lottery.
Yeah, that was too much. Too much. But definitely fun. Definitely fun. But, yeah, people just love that story, especially when they get the full context that you wrote a book on ketchup recipes. Yeah, couldn't be. Mm-hmm. Of all the people it could happen to, it's the guy that wrote the book on ketchup. Fantastic. So, we definitely got a good response on telling that story, but hopefully in 2020 that will not be happening to you. It'll be more of a less ketchup dumped on you, more success and good things coming to you on other fronts. So.
Oh yeah. I've got two things that I'm working on for this next year and everything, and one of them, besides my writing, one of them is no ketchup spills on me if I can help it. The other one is I forgot. Okay.
That's good. So we got about 4 minutes left in the show, so we definitely want to. We got some people weighing in with holiday wishes here, from Sandy Lender to Carol to Rob, and so we definitely want to. If you guys have any New Year's resolutions or anything you want to mention there, and then Bob also chimes in, so to wishing us to have a abundant life, live abundantly. So that's awesome. And definitely same to you, Bob, same to you. But if you guys have any special resolutions, we'll round out the show with that, because we actually, the next show that we're on the air will actually be the day after New Year's. So this is our last show in 2019. So we will be, see you next year, but right away. But it's a, yeah. So I guess you guys can go ahead and give your any New Year's resolution there. But Tommy already did. Just keep writing. And I'll give mine.
Right.
Just keep writing. So Tommy and I are almost identical, I think. And definitely. And in
some ways, yeah, we do have some unusual things in common. But yeah, just keep at it, Be persistent, Keep pushing and keep writing
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's a new day and it'll soon be a new year, so.
You know it. Yeah, very soon. And we're definitely going to hit hard. And definitely to echo what Bob was talking about earlier, yeah, definitely a vibe of collaboration and cooperation, not seeing each other as competitors, which makes everybody into little islands instead of lifting the tide that lifts all the ships. So that's definitely going forward in the right mindset and philosophy. But we thank you for coming aboard for sure tonight, Tommy. And before the show clocks out here, we definitely want to give you a chance to give folks where they can find you online so they can connect with you and enter your world of chaos.
Well, I'm on Facebook at facebook.com, author Tommy B. Smith, and then I'm on Twitter as Pen of Chaos. And I have a website which is currently disabled. That is TommyBSmith.com, because there will be a brand new website rolling out in 2020. So watch for that, start of the new year. That'll be different, but I think better, suiting the new direction and the new decade to come. So.
Cool. And you, Daniel?
Find me on facebook.com/ Daniel Dark Author, and be sure that you look that up on New Year's Eve a little while before midnight, because I'll be starting the show at about 10 minutes before midnight, and continue on for a while after midnight, so that we can get some things done and people can go home with some stuff. So
awesome. And yeah, definitely. As far as me, just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This is a show by creatives for creatives every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we appreciate you listening. And happy New Year and happy holidays, Merry Christmas and everything. Take care, everybody. Signing out, and to Tommy and Daniel, say goodnight.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Good night. Merry Christmas, Eve, and early Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and everything between and after.
May the holidays bring you what you're looking for, and it be happiness and peace within your soul. And for every week that we're able to bring you a little bit of joy, sign in with us at the Star Chamber Show. Have a good year. Daniel Dark signing off.